AM 1420, WASR Wolfboro, W246 DI Wolfboro at 97.1 FM. Local, community, radio.
And now, live from WASR Socially Distanced Studios, the best sports show on this station at this time. It's Mike and the Haas on WASR, powered by the Yum Yum Shop in downtown Wolfboro, Kingswood Sports, New Hampshire Sports, and National Sports. So here they are, Mike Denae and Charlie Hasek.
Good afternoon and welcome to Mike and the Haas on WASR Radio, powered by the Yum Yum Shop. I'm Mike Denae, and alongside Charlie Hasek, we are Mike and the Haas. Charlie, we were just debating some Supreme Court stuff. We're going to talk about Supreme Court stuff, but
we
probably,
are.
Probably not what everybody probably, thinks we're going to talk
probably
about.
Probably not what everybody's thinking about. It's funny. It's we always our timing with each other is impeccable, where we decide to engage in debate, as Eric says, 1 minute before we go live on air. Yeah. I think the last thing you said to me was, "I'm ready to walk out."
Yes, I think that's what it was. And I think you were really tweaking me, and you were intentionally tweaking me.
I was, which I hope you learned to appreciate my love for you and how easy it is for me to tweak you.
There are some things, yes, there are some things. It's been a long 12 hours for us liberals.
Yes, I understand. I understand. And it's not, I mean, eventually I think we're going to get there. And with Eric's blessing, we'll get to a political show someday. But this is not a political show. This is a sports show. Although it is interesting, we're going to be talking about the Supreme Court. No, we're not going to be talking about Roe v. Wade. We're going to be talking actually about a football coach that is in a little bit of hot water.
No. So we'll save the other stuff for
our new show whenever that happens.
Yes. Eric's chomping at the bit over there. He's like, we'll find some time here.
Well, Eric had said to me, actually, prior to the show, Eric, and I hope you don't mind me saying this, you were a little tired. So I figured we could maybe invigorate you today. And I don't think sports is going to get you excited, but maybe if we entered the political realm.
We didn't ask where the libertarian falls on all this.
I know, and he's not going to share with us on air. But maybe at the advertisement we can hear from Eric.
Besides all that.
Yes. You
know, how are you doing?
I'm great.
Did you have a good day?
I've had a really good day. It's been
I was going to ask Eric how he's doing.
Oh, I'm sorry, Eric.
Things are great so far. Okay. Yeah. Thank you for asking.
Yeah. Good.
So, I've gotten into a little bit of a routine in the sense where during like my lunch break, I try to go outside and do 15 or 20 minutes just to walk, and I do it in the parking lot, so I'm still on property if they need to get me. And it's been really helpful. It's just been nice to get outside. And you know, yesterday it was cool, and today it wasn't too bad. But it was just nice to do something different. I need to kind of change. You know what I mean? You're sitting in your classroom all day. Just change the scenery a bit.
I've had lately. I found myself very sedentary in class just because the kids are working. They're doing a good job working, and
sure.
So I'm not up and around as I used to be. And I have got to get up and walk around.
Yeah.
And I feel it at the end of the day. I feel it
if you haven't moved.
As I haven't moved.
Yeah.
And this is a you know, between school, and I was sitting down a lot today. Then I went into meetings after school.
Yeah, and you're sitting here with me.
And I'm sitting here with you. And then I'm going to go over and coach the last half with Coach McCullough.
Yeah.
The last half of his baseball game, because my green team is in Wakefield, and obviously I couldn't be there.
Right.
I think it's a great idea to walk around for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, and it's
get the juices flowing.
I walked up and down the hallway a few times today.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. Any type of movement's helpful.
Sally Stewart. Remember Sally, obviously.
Of course. Love Sally. Love her. Yep.
And miss her, too. Miss Sally quite a bit. But Sally used to get her steps in.
Yeah.
You know, on her prep period, she would walk. We have, you know, the loop inside the middle school.
Right.
And I think it's four laps is a mile, I believe it is.
Okay.
Yeah. And so she used to get that mile in during her prep.
And speaking of middle school, I know we don't want to talk shop, but we had transition meetings today.
Oh.
So talking about our kiddos that are coming up to the middle school. So
how many
it's
days
getting
left?
Real.
How many
it's
days
getting
left?
Real. There's, there are, well, 33 days left.
33.
Yeah,
okay.
33. And we started today, this morning, we talked about field day. So it's getting real.
Yep.
Like the end of the year is coming.
We talked about end of the year promotion. We talked about end of the year field trip, our celebration trip.
Now, do you guys, is it Canopy?
I think it's Canopy. I got to make some phone calls, but I think it's going to be Canopy. Last year we did Whale's Tail.
Yeah.
We took a break from Canopy, and one of the reasons why Canopy wasn't open last year at this time. I think it's going to be Canopy. It just seems to be safer with the weather, and you know,
they do a nice job. I mean, they treat teachers really well there. They have that coffee bar and stuff.
Yeah,
inside
the teacher lounge.
Yeah, it's nice.
No, it's not that it's about us. but I mean,
no, it's not. But I mean, you're with the kids.
There's also
but it's
so much more to do than, for instance, yeah. Whale's Tale. Whale's Tale was great last year. We went on a Monday, and they only opened the park for us, so we had the whole park to ourselves.
You, as in just Kingswood?
Just Kingswood had the whole park to ourselves. Yes, so. But it wasn't a very warm day, so. No.
Yeah, so you weren't.
Whereas at Canobie Lake, they have all the rides, obviously, but they also have a water park
there.
They
have
there,
the water
so
park,
the kids want to
yeah.
go.
And they have the shows if you want to do those.
Yep. Yep.
Which is fun.
So,
well, good.
I got to get in there. Ready to get started?
Let's do it.
All right. Mike in the House is power. Mike in the Hoss. Mike in the House. Mike is going to. Mike in the Hoss, powered by the Yum Yum Shop, located in the heart of downtown Wolfboro, can be found on WASR 97.1 FM and 1420 AM and all over the world on WASR.net. The Yum Yum Shop has over 100 varieties of fresh baked goods, including 6 different types of bread and a full-service ice cream bar, and, of course, their most famous item, the gingerbread cookie. Make sure to visit the Yum Yum Shop the next time you're in Wolfboro or online at yumyumshop.com. And while you were there, enter discount code of Mike and the Hoss or WASR to receive $5 off a gingy box. You can always join our conversation at 603-569-LAKE, 603-569-5253. It's not tribute. Is it tribute today?
No, today's
What's
Eric's
today?
Wonders.
Today's
Eric's
Tuesday.
Wonders.
I'm already lost. Yeah. Yum Yum Shop, taking care of us teachers, doing a big breakfast
really?
Thing for us on Friday.
How? You know what? Maybe the Yum Yum Shop could send a little love to OSPI.
Well,
OCS doesn't, you know.
It's technically, it's the Sunshine Club. Who I'm Ooh. Part of.
Oh, Michael, I like yes. that. The Sunshine Club.
The Sunshine Club.
That's
I just
nice.
Bring sunshine to everywhere I go.
I can see that every room you walk into, it really
yeah,
lights
sunshine
up.
Sunshine and Mike are not really in tandem. But anyway, so the Sunshine Club is sponsoring this, but Peter is
taking
Peter
care of
Kelly
you guys.
Is taking care of us over
That's
there.
That's really nice.
So we did this earlier this year. We did it earlier this year.
Yeah, didn't you guys have the like the gingerbread cookies? Or was that for the kiddos?
Those for the kids. Well, this is for the teachers. But,
yeah, this
we
is
did
teacher.
But we did this, what we're doing. So I stopped by first thing in the morning
yeah.
and big, huge box of pastries and coffee and all that
awesome.
Kind of stuff. And then
yeah.
we put it on a cart, and my advisory will walk around with the cart, and we bring it to each classroom,
okay.
each teacher,
yeah.
and they can pick whatever they want.
Our administration does that during Christmas time.
Oh, nice.
And it's really
nice,
and you get pastries. That's great. So, and Sunshine Club, and you are the...
I'm Sunshine.
You are the Sunshine.
That's my new middle name, Sunshine.
Yeah. It was funny. So I want you to start. I want you to start with your opening take. But
I'll be quick. I'll be quick. I don't know if Trevor Bauer,
yeah.
who is the pitcher for the Dodgers, I don't say controversial pitcher, but certainly
the things he did off field.
Yes, multiple things off
yes.
field. I mean, he's been suspended multiple times for various reasons. I think there was some drug use in there, and.
Yeah, he's not necessarily someone we'd probably want our kids to look up to.
No, and so he's been suspended now again for 2 years from MLB for just basically abusing women.
Right.
I mean, I don't know how
for
else
for sexual
could say
assault
it.
Allegations.
Well, it's worse than that. I mean, it really
yeah.
is worse than that. You know what he's doing is really masochistic stuff.
Yeah,
and. MLB, so my point is MLB suspended for 2 years. And so when I saw that, I was like, good for MLB.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, you know, I guess basically just short of a lifetime ban. And,
right.
I mean, I could say at this point it probably could be a lifetime ban.
Yeah.
But all of the stuff that has happened in the NFL over the last 5 or 6 years, you know, be from Ray Rice, who we've talked about
yeah.
it on the show, to Ezekiel Elliott, to Deshaun Watson right now, who's
right.
going through
I
some
mean,
stuff.
NFL, what you're going to get like a $1,500 fine if you're Trevor
yes,
Bauer.
It's unbelievable. Ray Rice on film,
yeah,
dragging his girlfriend by her hair, beating her.
The elevator scene.
Yeah, on
yeah.
film,
yeah.
two games.
Yeah.
Two.
That's it. Two.
Now, Deshaun Watson.
That's 2 weeks.
Deshaun Watson, 24, I think is the number, allegations different from different women.
Yeah.
Allegations of sexual assault, and not only does he does sit out a year, he sits out a year,
yeah,
gets traded, signs the largest contract. I mean, was he like $40 million a year,
yeah,
something like ridiculous
absurd.
Like that with Cleveland? Still don't know if he's going to play because the NFL still has to weigh in on some
yeah.
of this stuff.
Or he could go to jail.
He also could go to jail.
Yeah,
Trevor Bauer, 2 years. 2 years, Deshaun Watson, $150 million.
Yeah.
Seems to be a little bit of a difference in the
it is.
How they're dealing with these kinds of things.
What do you think the reason is?
My guess is that the Players Association...
is pretty powerful, the NFLPA.
No, I would say the MLB Players Association
okay.
is saying, we're not condoning this behavior. Let's drop the hammer on these guys.
But the NFLPA is saying with the Deshaun Watsons and crowd.
You know, due process, all this other kind of stuff.
Innocent until proven guilty, sure, all that.
Yeah. And I think that that's the difference. I don't think it's the league itself. I think it's the Players Association that is allowing these maximum suspensions, maximum fines. And I think MLB is saying, no, we're drawing the line. Well, you know, abusing women is not happening in our association. We're certainly not going to condone it.
Yeah, it shouldn't happen anywhere.
I think MLB is saying, 2 years, good, go for it.
Yeah.
That's what I think the difference is. I think it's the players' associations.
Yeah, it's a good point. And it's good for the MLB. And, you know, we always kind of beat up Major League Baseball at times. But, you know, this is something that, you know, we can get behind and be like, you know, they did something and they did the right thing.
Trevor Bauer's a bad dude.
Yeah.
Making $30 million a year. Oh, he's another guy that's making $30 million a year, too. But he doesn't collect his money.
I was going to say, he's suspended, so he's not being paid. And that would have been travesty. Right. Could you imagine? 2 years out and collecting that.
But he's a bad dude. And you said it just a few minutes ago. This is not somebody you want your daughters taking home to the parents. Or your boys looking up to. Saying, I want to be like Trevor. He's an incredible talent. Just like Deshaun Watson is. He's an incredible talent. But bad people should be punished. And I'm certainly okay with Trevor Bauer being suspended for 2 years. I think it sends a good message.
It sends a great message, not just to
MLB players, but I think to anybody who watches baseball, anybody who follows this, it sends a good message to them. No, we're not going to tolerate it.
I don't understand. Like, think about it. Like the with the NFL, you know, obviously we love the NFL. I mean, we love following the Patriots and our favorite teams. But what type of message does that send to women? You know, that you know the NFL clearly is not supportive of women and. You know, maybe it's not a good day to say this, but women's rights in the sense of you know that you know you should not be treated as an object or a sex object. You know, the NFLPA is basically condoning and saying that nope, you know, whatever it's we're just going to let due process happen and whatever happens happens. So I don't know. It's just not a good look. So
I agree. Good
for Major League Baseball.
Yes.
All right, you ready for the Supreme Court? I know people are burning, saying, "Wow, what is he going to talk about?" Well, have you heard of this, Joe Kennedy?
I did. Came through it.
Yeah. So Joe Kennedy.
I thought it was recent. I didn't know it was 2015. This has been brewing for that.
Well, it's brewing. I mean, because it's now finally at the Supreme Court. Right. So you know, it's taken a while to brew. So Joe Kennedy, he was a public school high school football coach from Bremerton, Washington, and he was fired from his job back in 2015 because he prayed at the 50-yard line at the end of games. Now, that being said. He was just a quick background on him. He is from that town originally. He's a retired a veteran from the Marine Corps, and he came back and took this coaching job. Interesting thing, and I know it has nothing to really do with the story. He actually never played football, but he became the head football coach at his high school, his former high school. He had made the decision to at the end of games pray at the 50-yard line by himself for many many years prior to this. You know, becoming an issue. And what ended up happening was he would go out there once the game concluded, and then some of his players started joining him, and then some players from the opposing team would join. And then it turned into a lot of people would start joining him, and then he would give a little talk. You know, he would give almost like a mini sermon that would happen post game. And the reason why he ended up actually getting in trouble, it wasn't his school didn't actually call him out on it. It was an opposing coach that had commented to the school athletic director. He thought how wonderful it was that, you know, Coach Kennedy at the end of games would go out there and have prayer and people could join him. And he just thought that it was very wholesome and wonderful. And that's when they started investigating, saying, you know, well, what's happening at the end of games? So, they fired him. His school fired him from his position. He sued the school district. It went to the local court. He ended up losing. He continued to move it up the line and, you know, went to the Ninth Circuit Court. He ended up losing. And he appealed to the Supreme Court. The first time the Supreme Court said, we're not interested in taking your case. And then last year, the Supreme Court, he appealed again.
I wonder why.
And the Supreme Court said, you know what? We're going to take a look at this. We're going to look at this. And they heard oral arguments just the other day. So this happened on April 25th. The Supreme Court heard the oral arguments about this case. And now they're going to take it under consideration and they're going to have a ruling. So some of the things that have come up, you know, is there a separation of church and state? Is prayer in public schools permitted? Are we violating Joe Kennedy's free speech and his religious freedom? One of the things with this whole thing is people said, well, if the kids that wanted to participate, they participated only because they wanted to get playtime. And then the argument from his lawyer was, well, the two captains of the team don't participate in the prayers. They don't even join it. And they got leadership positions in the school, so he is not being preferential with playtime. So it's really kind of created something that this is actually pretty big, Mike. And I know that you played sports through high school and through college, and so did I. And there were certain times that there was prayer, even at my high school, but it didn't happen on the 50-yard line at the end of the game. And we see it in professional organizations. So you have some professional athletes that come out in support of Joe Kennedy, and you also have some professional football players that are against it. So we kind of have this big, kind of murky case that the Supreme Court has just heard.
It's murky. It's very murky. I know we're running over, Eric, but let's finish this up. I think just in looking and hearing you, I don't have a problem with you. When the players are praying at the end of the game, I don't have a problem with it.
Right.
I think the sermon
might have crossed the line.
That might have crossed the line and offended people. And I think the concern over is, do I have to join in if it's going to affect my playing time or my status on the team? And
that's
I understand
right. That's
the
a concern.
I understand
sure.
the captain thing. And then, you know, how long is this thing going?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when you see the professional athletes doing it, it's 30 seconds.
Right.
You know, it's just,
they,
you know.
Yeah, get hold hands, say a quick prayer, and then move on.
I think that that's fine. But I do believe in separation of church and state.
Mm-hmm.
And I also believe in free speech.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I know.
And so
that's why
now,
you get so many different issues.
His role, and we deal with this all the time as far as school goes.
Right.
What we say in the classroom matters. And we have to be very, very guarded about expressing our opinions.
That's right. We shouldn't really express our opinions.
No. Yeah. Well, I mean, things like, I mean
obviously,
that, you know,
I mean, if we talk sports, I'm like Red Sox.
Right.
Yeah, but yeah.
I mean, there
yeah.
are some things that we
yeah.
certainly could say, but there yeah. are things that we have to, that are taboo and we cannot talk
That's
about.
Right.
He is a coach. He is working for a public school district.
Mm-hmm.
Not working for a private school. He's not working for St. Thomas Aquinas.
And that's the argument of the school district, that he's an agent of the state who works for, and that's the
right.
argument
and
that
so,
they're bringing forward.
I
sure.
mean, and I think that there's a point to be made there, and if he wants to do prayer, maybe he should go work at St. Thomas or something
yeah.
like that.
So here, I know
Bishop
we're running,
Girton, there's a whole bunch of them.
I know we're running over. I want you to, I want you to make a prediction. Is Joe Kennedy going to win this case in the Supreme Court? Is he going to get his job back?
I think based on how the Supreme Court is built right now, I think he's got a really good chance.
Okay.
And I don't think that's a good thing. I think a lot of the decisions the Supreme Court's making right now are not very good things anyway. At least they're rumored decisions. We'll be right back. Hey, Charlie, not sure if you heard the news. Hancock Lumber recently acquired the Winnipesaukee Lumber from the Quimby family, who established and owned the lumber yard since 1985. Hancock Lumber, in business for nearly 175 years, is a seventh-generation integrated forest products company who is passionate about its people-first and values-driven culture. Team Hancock is a multi-year recipient of the Best Place to Work in Maine Award. Hancock's 11 existing lumber yards, truss, wall panel manufacturing facilities, timberlands, and 9 kitchen design showrooms, and 3 sawmills will provide their new team with an additional set of manufacturing and distribution resources. These resources are in addition to the existing product and service offerings catering to the community's high-end residential contractors and subcontractors.
Visit Hancock Lumber in Wolfboro today or go to hancocklumber.com for all your building supply needs.
Mike and the Haas is sponsored by Duran Independent Insurance. If you're in the market for your health, life, or long-term care insurance, start with Paul Duran at Duran Independent Insurance. Paul and his team can answer any of your insurance questions with an independent voice. They can help you shop for the best rates available in New Hampshire and are your trusted time saver. So for any of your life, health, or long-term care insurance, start with Duran Independent Insurance. You can reach them at 603-569-6464 or duranindependentinsurance.com. Duran is independent and works for you. When looking for a sub in town, don't forget about the Full Belly Deli on Mill Street in downtown Wolfboro. For some of the most tasty subs in town, you have to try the Full Belly Deli. Hey, Charlie, do you know about the Thanksgiving Fridays?
I sure do. Thanksgiving. Turkey, stuffing, cranberry sauce, and mayo on a grilled homemade white bread. You can reach the Full Belly Deli at 603-569-1955. And don't forget to tell them Mike and the Hoss sent you.
Welcome back to Mike and the Hoss. All right. We've got some Kings of Sports brought to you by Duran Independent Insurance.
Duran is independent and works for you.
Athletes of the Week. The female athlete of the week is softball player Morgan Stevens. Morgan is off to a great start, including her game on April 20th. So we had vacation week. You mentioned that we had vacation week, so it was a little delayed.
That's right.
As she struck out 14 batters and hit a grand slam as the Knights beat the Falcons 10-0. Great work, Morgan.
Our male athlete of the week is Tyler Sprints. Tyler pitched all seven innings in a 2-1 victory over Kennett on April 13th. In that win, Tyler had 11 strikeouts, allowing just one run and two hits. Great job, Tyler.
All right, way to go.
Hey, one other thing. You know what we forgot again? Our opening takes, which are amazing.
Oh, my God. Brought to you by Hancock Lumber.
Yes, for all your building needs.
Building supply needs,
I'm sorry. Yes, Hancock Lumber for all your building supply needs.
Thank you for
remembering
that.
Yes.
Because we just heard the ad. We just did it just play just now?
We just played
yes,
the ad.
Yes, it did.
Yeah, which is great.
It's a great ad. Tommy Kahan, go down and see Tommy Kahan. And you know who works at Hancock Lumber now?
It's Coach Potenza down there.
Coach Potenza's down there.
I heard
now.
Rumors
That's
that Coach
right.
Potenza.
Coach Potenza. Yes. He is the greeter. They changed the route a little bit. And,
yeah.
And so when you walk in, it's Coach Potenza and his setup, and he can really take care of you.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
that's awesome. I'll go down there for my building supply needs.
All your building supply needs.
That's good.
Baseball team had a nice day yesterday against Cole Brown. It's supposed to be a really good Cole Brown team.
Yes.
Who beat some teams that beat us.
Yeah, they beat John Stark, beat Sauhegan.
No, St. Thomas.
Beat John Stark and St. Thomas.
Yeah. And so expected them to come in and really give Kingswood a good game. And
yeah.
It was a good game for Kingswood.
It was a great game for Kingswood.
10-0. They didn't. Yeah. And we started out against their number one pitcher, and we hit him out by the second inning. I think he was gone.
Yeah. And then it was a 10-run rule. So the game ended in the sixth.
Yeah. So way to go, Knights. The boys, I mean, hopefully they have, I believe it's seven
in the next 13 days.
Seven games in the next 13 days. So they're certainly getting stacked up. It's going to be a good test for Kingswood. Tomorrow they're supposed to go to Pembroke. The weather is bad, looking bad, 97%.
What is it? Is it weather, Eric? Is it we're going to have probably a rain out tomorrow?
Probably.
Yeah, okay.
And they're looking at rescheduling that for Thursday, which does not help Mike and the Hoss because...
No, because we'll be here.
We'll be here
on air
Thursday
with Eric. Which is still fun.
Unless Eric could put together a kit and we can like take it on the road with us.
A kit. Eric's going to put together a magic kit.
Speaking of that, and it just dawned on me, you and I have been invited to go to Florida next year with the baseball team.
Yes.
Because Coach Skelly needs some chaperones and some people to be around. He has invited us. What do you say that we do this show from spring training next year?
What do you say, Eric?
I think that's a fantastic idea.
All right.
And I think I know how we can do it.
There we go.
Nice.
That's what we wanted.
This is great. Yeah. That'll be a lot of fun. We could do player interviews.
Well, it's also the first step.
We're going to practice this fall.
No, we're going to be on Radio Row for the Super Bowl next year.
Well, of course, Eric's already got that in motion.
We got to put that together.
And I got your tickets right here.
We don't need the ticket. We just need the
Need to get to Radio Row. I don't have to see the game.
Where is the Super Bowl next year? Do we know that?
I'm sure we do. We can maybe.
You
maybe.
Sure we do?
I'm sure Eric, in a moment, could do the Google machine and find out where the Super Bowl is next year.
Pembroke is supposed to be tomorrow. Looks like it's going to be rescheduled for Thursday. And then Kennett, Rivalry Day, Kennett on Friday.
Yes.
And they've been winning some games, too, so it's going to be a good game.
That's going to be a great game.
Softball lost to Cole Brown yesterday, 17-5. Cole Brown's one of the better teams in the state. They have Pembroke tomorrow, and they also have Kennett on Friday. Right. I think it was a shocker losing to Cole Brown because the softball team's, you know, pretty stacked. I think this tells us how good Cole Brown is.
Playing well. Yeah. Cole Brown's going to be, like you said, one of the top teams. You got a little something for us, Eric?
Los Angeles.
We could go down.
We could go back to your territory over there.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's go back to L.A.
SoFi Stadium.
Okay.
There we go.
Nice. So wasn't it at SoFi this year?
It was.
Wait.
Yeah, that was this year.
You got 2023?
No, we want 2020. Yeah, we want 2023.
We want 2023. It was at SoFi this year. Well, we'll let Eric look at that. Yeah. He's got it. He's using the Google machine again.
Okay.
Last week.
Phoenix.
I could go to Phoenix.
I could go to Phoenix, too.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Be nice and warm.
I haven't been to Phoenix.
Let's do that.
Last week, I think when Nick was in for you, we talked about the weird scores that the boys lacrosse team have had. Every game has been a blowout. Whether they're on the good side of the blowout or the bad side of it, every game it's been 17-0, 15-0, so on.
Yeah.
Guess what yesterday was?
It was 15-0.
15-0. They lost to St. Thomas.
Yeah.
They haven't had one single close game yet.
No.
The parity in boys lacrosse is horrible.
Yeah.
It really is. It's horrible right now. I think the state needs, NHIA needs to start looking at reducing some of these divisions.
Yeah. I agree with you.
I think they should do it in hockey. I mentioned it before in hockey that they should have. Are we running out of time?
No, we're good.
Two divisions in hockey, Division One, Division Two.
Yeah.
And those top teams that are in Division Two, move them up to Division One, let them compete, and bring up the Division Three into Division Two.
I agree. And the other thing they need to do, and we talked about this, is have two divisions in girls' hockey because the parity there is also crazy. You know, there's four or five teams, six teams that can compete with each other, and then there's the top level, you know, the Bishop Gertons of the world.
Yep.
So
yeah, and boys lacrosse, wow. Girls lacrosse lost to Oyster River 16-11. They're home versus Alvern tomorrow. Now, they do play in the rain.
Yeah. Boys lacrosse, you can catch the after our show.
Today.
They're today at 5:30, and they're playing rival Kennett.
Now, Kennett, I don't believe, is very good, so it's probably going to be a blowout.
Kingswood should have a blowout today. and then they're going to travel to Timberlane on Friday, and Timberlane is a pretty good team.
We've talked about this, that playing in games that are competitive is how you get better.
Yeah, that's the only way you can get better.
You know, playing in a game that you're winning 15-0, you're no longer going to be. We've seen it in baseball, seen it in hockey, we've seen it in any sport.
Yeah.
Losing a game 15-0 is also a situation where you're not getting better.
Nope.
So hopefully something happens with that. We have time for the Patriots draft here?
I don't know. How about I get a little stat? Let's talk about my little baseball.
Let's talk about you.
All right. Yeah. Let's talk about me. Now, you probably saw this. College baseball had a record broken the other day.
I did.
Ben Joyce from the University of Tennessee threw a fastball at 105.5 miles per hour.
Did you see it? I saw the highlights.
I saw the highlights. Of course, I wasn't watching the game. Yes, 105.5.
College baseball has really changed over the last 30 years.
Yes.
When Clemens, he pitched for the University of Texas, I believe,
mm-hmm.
and he was throwing the ball like 94, 95. Unheard of.
Yeah, it was like, well, this is unreal.
It was unheard of. It was like, you know, the second coming. That's your basic middle reliever in college now.
Right.
Everybody's throwing the ball in the high 90s.
Throwing heat.
You know, 105.5 is incredible, but it's not as incredible as it was, you know, before when you know, because guys are eclipsing 100. I don't say on a regular basis, but it happens.
It's not unheard of, right?
No.
Yeah, I mean, if just 10 years ago, if someone pitched 99 or 100, you were like, oh my gosh. Yeah.
You know, when Pedro was pitching, before he slowed down a little bit, you know, was 95 to 97.
Yeah.
And he was unhittable. 95 to 97 now is batting practice for some of these guys.
Right.
It's incredible how much faster the bats have become, but the pitching has become so much faster too.
And the pitching's evolved too, because any Major League Baseball player, probably any Division One college baseball player, even any division could probably hit a 95 mile an hour fastball.
Yeah.
I mean, I think some of our high school players could probably hit a 95 mile an hour fastball. You just have to have that off speed. You have to, you know, you need to be able to come in with these two or three, four other pitches.
Jeff Locke, the Kennett kid who ended up pitching for the Pirates in high school was like 91, 92. His last couple years in high school was 91, 92. There's a, you know, I don't say a lot, but there's certainly a handful of pitchers in New Hampshire right now that are throwing like that.
Yeah.
It's not as uncommon as it was. It used to be when I was coming through, if you threw the ball in the high 80s during high school, you're getting drafted.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you were skipping college. You were getting drafted.
Yeah, they wanted you, right?
Now, you might go to a Division III school.
Yeah, exactly.
At best, you know, it's just the I don't know if it's the physical training that they're doing.
Right.
All the clinics that are out there.
It's
all
the whole bigger,
clinics,
faster, stronger thing. Yeah, absolutely.
My point is that, and we got to go in a second, but 105.5, we're going to see 110 in our lifetime. We are going to see 110.
I bet we are. It may have already happened if they don't have the gun. You just never know.
No.
But so the fast people are interested, the fastest pitch ever recorded, it was actually back in 2010, was Aroldis Chapman. He pitched it at 105.8 miles per hour.
Remember Kerry Wood?
Oh, sure.
Remember Kerry Wood? He came up. He was like Clemens. He was kind of and he pitched for the Cubs. He came up pitching for the Cubs, and he was throwing the ball 98, 99. He was unhittable.
Yeah.
Unhittable for a year, anyway. He ended up tiring out because everybody caught up to it.
Yeah, everybody figured it out.
You know, it's going to happen. I'm going to research it before I bring it up. But let's take a break. We'll be back with Eric's Wonders.
Hey, this is Charlie Hossack from Mike and the Hoss. Whether you're an Olympic athlete, weekend warrior, or just plain old like me, you should visit Seacoast Spine and Sports Injury Clinic. They have locations in Portsmouth, Hampton, and Alton, New Hampshire. The clinic has received numerous awards such as Best of Seacoast and Best of New Hampshire, and they accept most major health insurances. The clinic provides chiropractic sports medicine, routine chiropractic care, physical therapy, and naturopathic medicine. My family and I have been regular patients at the Seacoast Spine and Sports Clinic for the past 6 years and highly recommend them for all of your health care needs. Check them out on the web at seacoastsportsinjuries.com.
Hey, this is Mike from Mike and the Hoss. If you're in the real estate market, start with Fay Moore at Berkshire Hathaway. Fay brings 30 years experience to real estate in the Lakes region. If you're planning on selling, call Fay, and she could set up a complimentary market analysis to value your home and discuss anything you can do to help your house sell quicker and for more money. If you're buying, start with Fay. No one knows the local market better than Fay, and she will find the perfect house for you. So whether buying or selling, start with Fay Moore at Berkshire Hathaway by calling 888-723-0306 or Verani.com.
Everyone deserves a treat in life. The Yum Yum Shop in beautiful downtown Wolfboro is offering an amazing deal on their Gingy Boxes. Gingy Boxes are 24 delicious gingerbread cookies with 2 containers of frosting. Gingy Boxes can be shipped anywhere in the world. When you order online at yumyumshop.com, enter the code WASR or Mike and the Hoss to receive $5 off your order.
So don't forget, to save $5 on a Gingy Box, enter the code WASR or Mike and the Hoss at yumyumshop.com. Welcome back to Mike and Hoss. Before we left, we were talking about 105 miles an hour. And I asked you, remember the story of Sid Finch?
Yeah, and I don't.
Because it was 1985.
Oh, gosh.
April 1st, 1985, George Plimpton. Plimpton.
So I know that name.
You know, he was a writer for Sports Illustrated. Yep. Wrote an article on April 1st about this fictional player.
I was going to say, so this is April Fool's Day.
It was April Fool's.
Yeah.
But it was very believable.
Okay.
It was on the cover, and it was this player named Sid Finch who was like off the farm, in Tibet, really eccentric player, throw the ball 168 miles an hour. Everybody believed it.
Oh, my gosh.
Everybody believed it. It was a thing. I mean, it made the national news. Like, where is this guy, Sid Finch?
Where's Sid Finch?
And then finally, George Plimpton says, it's a joke, guys.
It's a joke. 168 miles an hour.
If you go back and read the article, it is an absolutely great read. George Plimpton, it was Sports Illustrated, 1985. Okay. Sid Finch, you can Google it.
I'll have to check that out.
It's a fun article to read.
My favorite, since we're talking about fictional characters, my favorite fictional pitcher is Kenny Powers. Do you ever watch Eastbound and Down?
Oh.
All right.
Eastbound and Down. All right, so we got Eric's Wonders brought to you by Skelly's Market.
The convenience store with a little more.
Eric asks, how does the draft work? Who is eligible? And according to Eric, it sounds like picking teams on a playground.
Yeah, it does. So, Eric, I selected to talk a little bit about the NFL draft. Since you didn't pick a sport, we can talk about whatever. Is that okay?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so the NFL draft. So, currently in the NFL, there are 32 teams, and each team gets one pick in 7 rounds. So think of it in terms, you know, each team's going to get a pick. But here's where I'm going to mess you up a little bit. This year, the Patriots actually had 10 picks, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Okay, so think of that. The order of selection is determined in reverse order of the finish of the previous season. So, meaning like the worst team in the league gets the first pick, and the team that won the Super Bowl gets the 32nd pick in the first round. Make sense?
So far,
here's where it gets a little tricky. Once you and the Patriots did this, for example, once it's time for your team to pick, you can trade your pick with another team. So the Patriots did that. They traded their pick with Kansas City Chiefs. They allowed Kansas City to pick number 22, and then they ended up the Patriots ended up getting the Kansas City pick and pick 29th because the Patriots got other stuff out of it. So you're allowed to trade your pick. So you're not required to necessarily pick a player. You can trade the pick if you want with another team. The reason why the Patriots ended up with 10 picks is there's a thing called compensatory picks, which means if you lose a certain amount of players to free agency, so like let's say the three of us are Patriots and you and I decide to go play for the Miami Dolphins and we've left. So the league uses a formula to figure out how many picks you get to have based on people leaving because of free agency. Because they really do want to have some equity in the league. And if you, I know you watch NFL games or football games, and for the most part, the games are competitive. So there isn't just one, you know, awesome team and one terrible, terrible team. They, for the most part, can be competitive. So that's how the actual draft works. But who's eligible to be drafted? To be eligible to be drafted in the NFL, you have to have been out of high school for 3 years, and you have to have used up all of your college eligibility as far as college time that you can play in college. For players that haven't done that, they can petition the NFL and say, you know, we want to be eligible for the draft, even though I still could play in college for another year or two. And the NFL will take that on a case-by-case basis. And then once a player is eligible for the draft, that's when they go into the draft system. The NFL has a system where then all of their they're invited to the combines where they do the 40-yard dash and all the different runs and the bench presses, and they get put into a system, and then they get rated and ranked as to how good they are at their position, where they should necessarily be drafted by a team that's looking for whatever particular player they are.
In baseball, once you get drafted, same thing in hockey, you can opt to go back to college. You don't have to go to the professional team. I don't think that's the case of football.
That's not the case in the NFL. Once you declare,
you've given up
your college eligibility.
Yeah. Charlie mentioned about petitioning. There was a famous case probably about 10 years ago. Maurice Claret, who was a running back for Ohio State, and they won the national championship, I think, that year.
Did,
and
yeah.
He was on his back, really. And he petitioned. He wanted to come out as a freshman because he wanted money. I mean, there's a lot of money waiting for him. And the NFL would not grant him. And so he sued the NFL and lasted in court for a few years. In the meantime, couldn't go back to Ohio State to play.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if he had declared or wasn't eligible or whatever the case was. He's in jail right now.
Right.
Maurice Claret's in jail. It really turned out really bad for him because by the time that he was able to get into the NFL, he hadn't been training. He had lost. Because once he declared, he no longer had that avenue. He couldn't train at Ohio State, couldn't train with an NFL team, yeah. And got slow.
Yeah.
And ended up, he did eventually sign. He signed with Denver. He was drafted like a third-round pick.
Right.
But he faded fast, yeah. And he never played in a game. So,
which is too bad.
I mean, do you agree with that? Do you agree that the players should? The NFL is different than the other sports.
The NFL is different, and I mean the rule being 3 years out of high school. But like I said, if they petition the NFL, if you have a kid after 2 years that is going to be a player in the NFL, I mean I think it's okay. Here's my concern is if you're that, I mean obviously none of us at this table are that talented to be playing professional sports, but if you have that talent and then decide, okay, I'm going to play one more year of college football and then have an injury that ends that career, you're never going to get your payday.
Yep.
I just think it's really difficult when you have this.
Now that players could get paid in college, though, is that going to change that a little bit?
It could. I mean, it definitely could.
I mean, there are some college players now that have signed over $1 million, like, endorsement contracts.
Yeah. I mean, we should be thinking of that as Mike and the Haas. Well, I think we're ready for $1 million endorsements.
What do you think, Eric?
Eric's working on that.
I think we could be on boxes of Raisin Bran.
Oh, absolutely. If people still eat Raisin Bran.
So that was Eric's Runners brought to you by Skelly's Market, the convenience store with a little more.
And you can get Raisin Bran at Skelly's Market.
I don't think, are you sure about that?
I'm pretty sure.
Speaking of draft, let's talk Patriots draft.
It was unbelievable.
You talk about a thud. You and I are not necessarily on the same page. You think it was an okay draft?
I mean, I think it's going to be okay. I don't think, looking at it, it's hard to say it was good.
The first pick is such a spotlight pick because it's the only round that happens on the first night is the first round.
Right.
It's
and everybody's pumped. Everybody's watching.
And they have 10 minutes in between picks, and so there's a lot of hype on
those
things.
And this year especially it was in Vegas.
In Vegas. Yeah. And so we're kind of geared up. Which direction? Is this going to be a new Patriots, the old Patriots?
Yes.
So they were at 21. They traded out at 21, which was not a surprise. And they came down to 29. But at 21, they traded with Kansas City. The Kansas City took one of their top cornerbacks that were on the board. And, yeah, the Patriots needed a cornerback. So what are they going to do at 29? There was a couple receivers still on the board. There was a couple
linebackers. I wanted linebackers to go linebackers
on the board. There was a couple cornerbacks on the board. Yes. So they decided to go left guard out of Chattanooga.
Yeah. It went really a real strange pick.
So the name was Cole Strange. And big guy, you know.
Yeah,
he's a big guy.
6'5", 305.
Well thought of, although many draft prognosticators had him going in the third round.
Yeah. That's right. Interesting thing about him, though. You know, obviously, I know you've done your research. Just looking at him, he, as far as his ability to play in college, the things that I like about him is he's quick. He's got quick feet. He's certainly very strong. He's only given up one sack his entire college career.
He could be the best guard that has ever walked the planet.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. He's
You don't want to pick an offensive lineman in the first round?
Well, they
did in the first round.
I mean, I'd rather see them pick a tackle. If you're going to the blind side, get some like a
I
left
understand.
Tackle.
I understand
you know,
that.
Somebody that could really make a difference
your
on
most
your
valuable
line.
Lineman. Sure.
But why are we picking a left guard? And my argument to you was that...
Well, he's versatile. He could play right guard or center.
Oh, my God. if you are the best lineman on your team... Right now, the University of Chattanooga is not a mecca for football players. I think the only one that's coming out
is University of Tennessee at Chattanooga.
Okay. That's Terrell Owens is the only notable football player that's come out of there.
He was pretty good.
He was. but you tell me, you're a football guy.
Yeah.
What position does the best offensive lineman play on your football team?
Left tackle or right tackle, whatever the blind side is for your quarterback.
Left tackle.
Yes.
He was not the tackle on his football team from Tennessee and Chattanooga.
I know.
He was the guard. So that means there's two guys at least that were better than him on his own football team, yet this guy qualifies as a first-round pick.
According to Bill Belichick, he does.
Jesus. Bill doesn't listen to anybody, and so this is the same old Bill, and I think he's putting his middle finger up at the whole league saying, I know more than you guys. Watch this.
But did his comment not make you chuckle? I was worried
he wasn't going to last. So that like certainly started the draft off for the Patriots with a big thud.
Yeah.
And then in round two, they went with their wide receiver, Tyquan Thornton, fastest guy in the draft class without pads.
Yep. I was a little more disappointed with this pick than Cole Strange.
Well, so they took him as the 50th pick, so that's basically midway through the second round, projected for the fifth round. So, yes, he is the fastest guy who can't catch.
Yeah. He's he went to school on a track scholarship, not even football. Like, he was there for – he went to LSU, right? It was LSU. Yeah, I think it's LSU.
Baylor.
Oh, excuse me, Baylor. He was given a full ride to LSU for track.
For track.
Yeah. So he is not necessarily what you would call a football player.
Okay.
He's fast.
They've reached in two rounds now. Then we get to round three, and they pick Marcus Jonah, defensive back at University of Houston. All right. They need some DBs. 5'8".
Whoa. Wait a minute. Both of us are taller than Marcus Jones.
5'8".
Yes.
Who's he covering?
I know. So he's 5'8", and he's only 175 pounds too, which is kind of small.
Round four. So they got.
Yeah.
And I think he does this on purpose. So they got Marcus Jones in the third, Jack Jones in the fourth. I think he's mixing up his Joneses.
Yeah.
And so that we can't decide which one is the better Jones, and you're gonna have guys out there with just Jones, and then you got Mac Jones.
And at least you got Jack. I mean, Jack Jones. At least he's Pac-12, came from Arizona State, but he's 5'11", same weight as Marcus Jones, 175. And yeah, so.
And then another confusion. They went for another running back in round four, Pierre Strong. And these names are.
And Pierre Strong is South Dakota State. And
we got some Stranges, we got some Joneses, and we got some Strongs.
Yeah.
Now, what is the one position that you feel the Patriots are all set in?
Quarterback.
Okay. Yeah. What's the next position where they have depth and everything?
Where they have depth and everything.
Running back.
Well, we know the running back. We got Ramondre Stevenson. Yeah,
Damian Harris. You got James White coming back, who signed a little extension. You're all set at running back. You got James Taylor
is the singer.
J.J. Taylor?
Yeah.
J.J. Taylor.
You got a friend.
Anyway, you got a Taylor back there.
Yeah. J.J.
You are in good shape at running back. You bring in another one.
Definitely, yeah.
Okay. Can you say practice squad? Or
special teams.
Or somebody's getting traded.
Yeah.
Because it is Harris's contract year.
Yeah, good point.
And then you bring in a quarterback, which, you know, fourth round, Bailey Zapp. Now, what if Bailey Zapp comes up throwing darts all over the place?
Yeah. Interesting thing.
What are we going to have, a quarterback controversy?
I know, because you think of, like, fourth round, and you're like, well, Brady was sixth round.
Right.
And, like, you just never know. Yeah, you just never know.
You don't. And so are we going to have a quarterback? I think it was a bad idea. And we have to take a break, so we have a lot to talk about when we come back. Mike and the Hoss is sponsored by the Downtown Grill and Cafe. When in downtown Wolfboro, don't forget to stop at the Downtown Grill and Cafe. The Downtown Grill is open from 7 to 3, 7 days a week, 364 days a year, serving breakfast and lunch with daily specials and delicious homemade soups. The grill offers the finest organic and fair trade gourmet coffee and tea, several gluten-free options, and a unique and delicious breakfast and lunch menus. So for some of the best breakfast and lunch options in town, visit the Downtown Grill and Cafe during your next visit.
Are you getting married, celebrating anniversary, or just want to bring something beautiful to that holiday celebration? Linda's Flowers has been serving the Lakes region since 2003. They specialize in fresh-cut flowers, bouquets, plants, and gifts. Linda's Flowers is owned by Gwen, who is a Wolfboro native and focused on serving the local community. 569-4513, or stop by their shop, 91 Center Street in Wolfboro, New Hampshire. The shop is open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, and Saturday, 9 to 1. You can also visit their website at flowersinwolfboronh.com, and Linda's Flowers will deliver right to your door. After the program today, I'm heading to Skelly's Market in Moultonboro, New Hampshire. They have all your grocery needs, plus more with great customer service. Pizza, subs, fried chicken, and a great selection of meats to put on your grill. On Saturday nights, there's always the much-loved pizza special, with two large topping pizzas for only $20. Skelly's also features Richardson's Ice Cream and the world-famous Bailey's Hot Fudge. Enjoy your visit to Skelly's Market at 374 Governor Wentworth Highway in Moultonboro, New Hampshire, and see why Skelly's is the convenience store with a little more.
Going on a trip? Start your travels with less stress.
JCN Shuttle offers transportation to and from all local and regional airports, concert venues, sporting events, and will even take you to the casino.
Need to get your car to Florida? JCN Shuttle features long-haul vehicle transport to anywhere in the continental United States.
JCN Shuttle is locally owned and operated and fully insured.
They are currently offering a 10% discount off the purchase of any gift certificate.
Give JCN Shuttle a call at 603-515-1894 or visit jcnshuttle.com.
JCN Shuttle will take you anywhere at any time.
Let them do the driving so you don't have to. Welcome back. All right, we got to squeeze some Bruins playoffs, Celtics playoffs, and a disastrous Red Sox start into the next 12 minutes. We'll start Bruins playoffs because they played last night. They lost game one to Carolina, 5-1. I think it's popular opinion that it wasn't as bad as the score indicated.
Yeah.
They were certainly in the game. They outshot Carolina 35-24. I'm guessing you didn't watch.
No.
An upsetting stat is that this year they've been outscored by Carolina 22-2.
Wow. That's terrible.
Yeah, that doesn't give you a reason to be hopeful.
No, not at all. Are they going to change goalies?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Not yet. I mean, I don't think it was Allmark. We hit the post a couple times. We had our chances. Again, we outshot them by 10 shots.
I was going to say you did, yeah.
I watched about half the game, and it was all Bruins until Carolina scored.
Yeah.
And then when Carolina scored, it kind of opened the floodgates a little bit. But I have hope.
Good.
I'm not predicting them.
You need hope.
I have hope. It's a must-win game for them, I think. And the Celtics are going to be in the same boat. We'll talk about them in a second.
So they play tomorrow night, the Bruins.
So the Bruins, and I love the NHL. Yeah. They don't screw around like the NBA does.
Right.
Every other day they play.
Yeah.
Travel day is your off day. That's it. And so they play every other day regardless.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's
the NBA.
Oh, gosh, I know.
So the NBA, the Celtics played on Sunday.
Yeah,
they're playing tonight. And then they don't play again until Saturday.
Right.
And then after Saturday, they go every other day.
Yeah.
So
they really ease into it.
For some reason, they I don't know if they're avoiding American Idol this week or something like that. It just doesn't make any sense why they're taking 4 days off in between. It's like a pitcher needing, extra days rest or something like that.
Right.
These are guys that are making $30 million a year, but they don't even fly first class. They fly luxury. They have own planes and everything.
Yeah, exactly.
What in God's name do they need that extra rest for? Anyway, so that's enough on the Bruins. The Celtics
it was a tough game one.
Did the Celtics look... I didn't watch much of Game 1, full disclosure. Did you get to... Did they play iso ball? Did they move the ball around?
No, the issue is Giannis. I mean, they came out with the same defensive tactic against Giannis, that they had with Durant.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, Giannis had a triple-double.
He had a bad night, though.
Yeah.
Giannis still had a bad night.
Bad night, but he still had a triple-double.
But he was 9 for 24 or something like that.
Right. The issue was the Celtics, they shot 33%. You can't win a game when you're shooting 33%.
And it was even worse than that from three, right?
Yeah, exactly. And JT, they swarmed JT.
50 threes.
Yeah.
50.
They said, hey, if you're going to do that to Durant, we're going to show what we can do to JT. And JT was, swarmed the whole night. And if you looked at the Milwaukee players, if you looked at, Jrue Holiday, Grayson Allen, and Bobby Portis, like, they're so good. Like, they don't miss. And they're just really, really good players.
And they don't have their second best player.
Right, Chris Middleton. Yeah. So I'm worried. And people are like, look at everybody's like my Celtics friends. They're like, well, look at the history. Look back in the 80s and, the Celtics lost the first game and then went on to win the NBA championship. Like, okay, I get that. But I don't know if this team is built that way to be able to handle the Bucks.
Do you think the Celtics went in saying, we're playing so well, we swept Brooklyn,
they're feeling
good.
We swept
Durant, we swept Kyrie, we got this, and they saw a team that actually played defense and they didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah, I mean, the Bucks held the Celtics to 89 points.
It always worries me when they take so many threes, and I thought they took a lot of threes.
They took a lot of threes.
Against Brooklyn, I thought they took a lot of threes.
Someone came out, ESPN reporter came out and said, the way to win this series is to shoot threes. I'm like, I don't agree with that.
No, Jackie Bradley Jr. in baseball, he's a streaky hitter.
Yeah.
We've talked about that extensively. Basketball threes are often the same thing, too.
Yeah.
And they're contagious.
Yep.
And when
you get
one
hot,
guy starts making them, the other guys start making them.
Yeah.
But when one guy starts missing,
it's brick city.
You start clanking it all over the place. And, live and die by the three like that, you could be out of the series really fast with another cold night. They're in a must-win situation tonight.
It is, because they're going to be traveling to Milwaukee, and you don't want to be down 0-2.
No, and you got to steal a game.
Yeah.
And Milwaukee, if they're priding themselves on defense, unlike Brooklyn, if they're priding themselves on defense, then the Celtics have their hands full.
Yeah.
Because they don't have anybody to match up with Giannis.
Right.
And Giannis having a bad night but still beating the Celtics by 11 or 12 or whatever the number was does not look good for the Celtics. Now, the other guys' shots lights out. All the other guys.
They did.
Jrue Holiday shot lights out.
They did, yeah.
Who's the other one? Grayson Allen, Bobby Portis. They all played really well. And the Celtics had an epically bad day.
Yeah. I mean, this is where the Celtics...
But were they passing the ball around? That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, they were. It was good basketball. This is where, you got to figure that they're going to do the same thing to Jason Tatum again. So this is where Jaylen Brown and Smart and even Peyton Pritchard, this is where these guys need to step it up, Al Horford, and score. It's time for them to score and realize that, Tatum's not going to go out there and score 50. So you need to spread it around and get the ball in the hoop with the other guys.
Did they have Horford on Giannis?
They had everyone on
Horford. Yeah,
I mean, they were rotating through. I thought it was a great game plan. Hands down, great game plan. But Giannis is. I mean, he's called the Greek Freak for a reason.
Well, he's a 7-foot guard.
The guy is unbelievable.
He's a 7-foot guard.
He's an unbelievable player. And I like him, which is good. Unlike LeBron. I don't like LeBron.
No, I would agree with that. But I still want the Celtics to win.
Of course. Yeah. So I don't know. So tonight's big. So if the Celtics go down 0-2, Mike, I think it might be the end of the Celtics season.
So the Celtics and the Bruins could be done by Sunday.
They could be. They could be.
Monday.
We hope not.
Monday. They could be done by Monday.
We hope not.
No, definitely.
You know who's not going to be done, though, Mike? The Red Sox. They're not going to be done by Monday.
You don't think so?
Even if they're done by Monday, they still have to play a lot more games.
They're 8 games back.
They are.
It is May 3rd?
It is May 3rd.
Yep. May 3rd. You mentioned only one game out of last place.
Yes. Isn't that sad to say they're one game ahead of the Baltimore Orioles?
What do the Red Sox have to hold their hat on right now?
I still like the starting pitching.
Okay.
I'm okay with that.
Okay, yeah. Baltimore beat it up a little bit, but...
They did, yeah.
I think Jake Pivetta is... Or Nick Pivetta?
Nick Pivetta.
He's not looking very good.
No.
He doesn't get out of the fourth inning on any of the starts, and he's letting up some runs.
Our pitcher tonight, Waka, he looks pretty good. Okay. He's pitching tonight. Well, he's also pitching tonight against the Angels ace, Syndergaard. So tonight's game is going to be interesting. You know how excited I am. I mean, you can sense my excitement because Mike Trout is he is in New England.
He's Eastern time zone, so you'll be able to watch him.
Yes.
I think the Celtics, I mean, the Red Sox, I saw the stat that said they have to go 17-10 to have a winning record by the end of
May?
Yeah, the end of May.
That's a lot to ask.
I don't think so.
You think they can do that?
I think they have to do that. This sounds like Moneyball, you know, when they met with the owner and says, okay, what is our projection? Where do they have to be by the All-Star break to be in this thing? Where do the Red Sox have to be by the All-Star break? Because they've dug themselves a hole. They're 8 games back of the New York Yankees.
Yeah.
3 teams are in front of them. What do they have to do? Where do they have to be to make it? I had put down that we thought this, you know, we always ask for the same thing. Get us to September so we have a summer of meaningful baseball.
Yeah.
We didn't even get out of April.
No.
They have to get back in this thing. How far back from the first place team do you want them to be so that it is a meaningful summer of baseball at the All-Star break?
I mean, I think at the All-Star break, you have to be hovering around 5 or 6 games back.
Okay. So that means that they have to do better than the New York Yankees, the Toronto Blue Jays, and the Tampa Bay Rays between now and the All-Star break.
Okay.
Yeah. I would agree with that. I think 5 or 6 is something that you can make up after the All-Star break, too.
Right.
They're trending to be one of those, like, 35 games back.
They are.
That's what they're trending. They're trending to be a 60-win team.
It's scary. I mean, this. We as Red Sox fans, we don't expect this.
Well, I don't know how you can't expect this. In the last 20 years, they either won the World Series or they finished in last place. That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
I mean, it's.
But we've always had Baltimore.
All right. But doesn't it feel like that?
It does.
That they're either on. Now, did they overachieve last year in 2018?
Well, we know
probably.
They did last year. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, probably. And they underachieved these other years. They're playing with no inspiration whatsoever. And when is that closed-door players-only meeting happening?
Right. Yeah, when is Xander? Well, Xander's. I mean, I think Xander's pretty fired up.
You think he is
fired up in the sense that he's upset.
Yes,
that he wasn't. You know,
and he's saying,
given the contract that he
and
wants.
And he's saying, okay, screw you. I don't care about the team. I'm going to get my stats up because I'm going to be a free agent when I opt out of this.
That's
thing.
Right. Yeah.
And his stats are going up.
Yeah.
And he's becoming more expensive now. And I think that doing that the day before the season started.
Yeah. Kind of set a precedent for the whole season.
Not only not signing him, but making a ridiculous offer of, 4 years and $90 million or something stupid.
And embarrassing.
No, it wasn't. Five years and $90 million.
It was an embarrassing offer.
It was like $17 million bucks a year. It was a pay cut for him after signing Trevor Story, who is doing absolutely nothing.
Right.
So it's a bad look for the Red Sox, and they better figure out their business because I don't think their business is on the field. I think it's how the team is looking at management, how management is looking at the team,
right.
Because there seems to be a big disconnect there. And these guys don't seem to be invested in the team. And that's why we're at where we are.
Yeah.
Because I think the talent is a lot better than what we're getting.
I agree with you.
So, anything else to say?
No, I think you're right. I think part of it is, and there's nothing they can do now, but by not signing Bogarts, by not signing Devers, and bringing in Trevor Story with such a high payroll, is definitely impacting him, and that's the key. You just said it, and I don't think Bogarts, as the captain of the team, is going to have the closed door talk because he doesn't care.
He doesn't care.
He doesn't care. He cares about
the
like
team.
You said,
commit to him.
You know, he cares about going out there and getting the most money he can when he enters free agency.
Yeah. And that's a bad thing. And now that message is going to be permeated through the younger players that are there, especially Devers.
Yeah.
Devers, right. Just get yours now.
Yep, get it when you can.
Bad mistake by the Red Sox. We want to once again thank our advertisers supporting Mike and the Haas on WASR. Wait, before we do that, Boathouse tonight, Taco Tuesday, 2-for-you menus, $5 margaritas, and tomorrow's half-price bottles of wine, $10 wings. Maybe tomorrow night's the night we get the wings.
Yes.
At the Boathouse.
We should do that. Love wings.
Double reward points tomorrow. Are you getting in the reward thing yet?
I am in it now.
You are? Good for
From
you.
Our last time.
Yep. And then don't forget prime rib dinners on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So
good
that
stuff.
Is the Back Bay Boathouse and Truly's on Tap, which are certainly my favorite.
You love.
All right, here we go. We want to once again thank our advertisers supporting Mike and the Hoss on WASR, powered by the MF Shop. Thanks to Fame-More, Berkshire Hathaway.
Seacoast Spine and Sports Injuries Clinic.
Skelly's Market.
Lucas Roasting Company.
Duran Independent Insurance.
Carroll County Oil.
Downtown Grill and Cafe.
Weston Auto Body.
Linda's Flowers.
Bradley's Hardware.
JCN Shuttle.
The Full Belly Deli.
Hancock Lumber.
And the Back Bay Boathouse.
We will be back on Thursday for more Mike and the Hoss.